Glad you're back here to join us here on Current State. I'm Mark Bayshore at the top of our program today. Like many states, Michigan allows law enforcement agencies to seize property from people who are thought to be involved in criminal activity. And that's even if charges or convictions do not follow. If they want their property back, they have to take it up in civil court, even if they're never charged with a crime. An expanding effort to change civil forfeiture laws is afoot, and it's led by a coalition of groups that usually don't share outlooks. A new report jointly authored and published by the conservative-leaning Mackinac Center for Public Policy and the liberal-leaning American Civil Liberties Union of Michigan says that the state's laws on forfeiture are some of the worst in the nation. They are pushing for change. A co-author of that study, Jarrett Skorup of the Mackinac Center, joins us now to talk about the issue. Welcome, Jarrett.
Thanks, Mark. Appreciate you having me on.
And we welcome questions from our listeners as well. Hit us up on Twitter, at KAR, Current State, or go to the Current State Facebook page. Well, it certainly gets my attention, Jarrett, when the ACLU and the Mackinac Center do a project together, and this report is a joint venture. What sparked the Mackinac Center's interest in this subject?
Well, we've actually been doing work on this issue for more than 20 years now. We first did a report back in the mid-90s. We're a free market think tank, so it did surprise some people wondering what our involvement is in this, but we believe that the foundation of good government is private property rights and the rule of law, and in our view, civil forfeiture violates both of those, so that's probably the most important thing that government can provide, and Michigan's just not doing a good job of it right now.
Well, the worst of these incidents, at least the way they're described in the reporting of them that I have read, are nothing short of appalling in a number of cases. Give us an example of how this has been a problem for people here who are not charged with a crime.
Sure. Well, I think first the basics of what forfeiture is. There are two main types of forfeiture. So forfeiture is a transfer of property from citizens over to the government. There's civil forfeiture and there's criminal forfeiture. So criminal forfeiture is where, the police walk in, they investigate, there's a drug dealer, he hasn't worked for 10 years, but he has a huge home, and he's got an Escalade, and so they convict him of a crime, and they go through the process, and they transfer his property, and they use that money to recompensate victims and to investigate crimes and things. We're totally fine with that. Our report doesn't recommend changes to that at all. Civil forfeiture is a different process. That's if somebody is even charged with a crime, they go through the criminal process, but their property goes through the civil process, civil court, and that there are lower standards of evidence there. So that's the problem that we're talking about. And so some particularly bad examples have happened in Michigan. There was a case a few years ago where a few dozen young people went to an art institute in Detroit. They were going to a party there, and they were never accused of any or not charged with any crime, but the art institute was alleged to not have a liquor license. So the police seized all their vehicles. And so they had to pay money to get that back, even though they never were accused of doing anything wrong or knowing that the place didn't have a permit. There was another situation also in Detroit where there were two women. They were Red Cross workers. One woman was giving the other one a ride home from work, and she dropped her off at the bank and circled the block to come pick her up. And the woman was accused of eyeballing passing motorists. So essentially the police were accusing her of being a prostitute. They didn't charge her with that. There was no evidence of it. She was still in her Red Cross outfit. She had a Red Cross badge on, but the police seized the vehicle from the woman based on that allegation. So, and then you've had multiple people who've had bank accounts frozen and stuff just based on suspicious deposits and things like that, also never charged with crime.
And I mean, there are cases of people being bankrupted by this and losing businesses because of it, correct?
That's right, yeah. So one problem, particularly in Michigan now, is we passed a medical marijuana law a few years ago, but there aren't really, there's differing opinions on what's legal and what isn't. And so there are people who think they're following the law, and police might suspect that they're not. And so they're seizing lots of equipment and parts of homes and even homes based on that law, and they're not charging them with the crime, or at least not charging them initially. They're waiting a long, long time and just saying, well, we suspect they might be involved with a crime. So that's raised a whole new issue here in the state. And our position is, regardless of how you feel on that, on marijuana or drug laws in the state, the police should at least, they should have to convict someone of a crime before they actually transfer the property over to the state.
We're talking with Jarrett Skora, policy analyst at the Mackinac Center in Midland. He worked with the Michigan ACLU to co-author a report calling for changes in the state's civil forfeiture procedures. What does law enforcement do with all this stuff once they seize it, Jarrett?
Yeah, one thing our report tried to get at, and we make a few recommendations, but one of them, one problem for the media and for people out there is we just have very limited transparency requirements, so we don't really know how much is being taken every year, and that's a big problem. So there are some limited numbers out there, and it showed that last year $24 million was taken, but that only relates to one section of this, so it's likely much more. The issue, so we're calling for higher transparency requirements, which is something that might be happening right now in the state.
How does law enforcement, generally at least, Jarrett, how does law enforcement respond to calls for reform?
They've been hesitant on it. A few law enforcement agencies are supporting a package of bills that are moving through the legislature right now, and that would change the transparency requirements, and it would raise the standard of evidence a little bit on this. Attorney General Bill Schuette, just a couple days ago, he came out and he's supporting those bills. So that gets us a good chunk of the way towards what we're asking for in the report, provided that passes the Senate. But we believe there's much more to go. So law enforcement has been generally favorable to those bills. I think they realize that there's a big problem. But our ultimate goal and what we call for in the report is ending civil forfeiture, which means everybody would be processed through the criminal system. We think that would truly enhance people's constitutional rights. The thing to understand here, an important point on this is, when you go through the criminal system, you have constitutional rights. You have right to an attorney, right to be Mirandized. If you can't afford it, an attorney is provided for you. But if you're in the civil system, you don't have any of those rights. And so you have this weird situation, even if you are charged with a crime, where your property can be forfeited at a much lower standard of evidence. So right now in Michigan, that's called the preponderance of the evidence, so it's a 50-50, whereas to convict someone of a crime, it's beyond a reasonable doubt. And we think that's a good statute to have also in order to take somebody's property. You know, you should have a right to your private property.
How exactly do defenders of the status quo, Jarrett, do that? What are they saying? What are people, I mean, there's obviously some bipartisan support for reform here, but how are defenders of this system articulating their arguments here?
Yeah, that's a great question. I've debated this with law enforcement a few times, and generally they say they see this as an important tool to combat drugs. That's usually the focus that they provide, or that sometimes you just don't have the full amount of evidence, even though they do feel that they have enough evidence to believe that somebody is suspected in illegal activity. But my experience talking with law enforcement and with people is that a lot of people just don't understand, you know, how this fully works. And the other thing is of why we want to get rid of that kind of civil system is for most people out there, Minnesota passed some really good transparency requirements that ours are somewhat modeled at. But what you find in other states are it's very rare to actually make it before a judge or jury, even in the civil system. So the example on that would be, so for the example I gave before of the people who went to the Art Institute and had their vehicles seized, well, very few of those went to court, because what happens is the law enforcement will say, well, if you pay us a fine, we'll drop this. You can just get your vehicle back. And usually people do that, and it makes sense, because if you have a $2,000 or $3,000 car, and the average amount seized in Minnesota, for example, it's $1,500. So that's the combination of vehicles and cash. So let's say you have something worth $1,500 or $2,000, you're not going to go spend $3,000 or $4,000 on an attorney and waste a lot of time. You're probably just going to pay a smaller amount fine to get your vehicle back. So that's the real problem of what's going on now, and particularly for poor people who don't know how to navigate that system.
We've got less than 30 seconds, Jarrett, so real quickly, have you done a head count in the legislature on these seven bills?
There's a package of seven bills. They passed the House overwhelmingly, and they passed a Senate committee. So they're in the Senate right now. We feel pretty good about it. I think it's a hard one to argue against, just getting basic transparency as well as raising the standard of evidence a little bit. And having Attorney General Bill Schuette supporting those has been helpful. So
I take it the governor supports it as well?
I haven't talked to him about it, but he's been doing a lot on over-criminalization stuff, and I think that he should be fine with this as well.
We've been talking with Jarrett Skorup, policy analyst at the Mackinac Center in Midland. He worked with the Michigan ACLU to co-author a report calling for changes in the state's civil forfeiture procedures. Very informative here, Jarrett. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Mark.